welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. Hello, Mama.
Hey, you. Hey, you, girlfriend. We're here. We're queer, and we ain't going nowhere.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I remember about, oh, gosh. This t-shirt no longer is a statement or a protest or, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Or even a big dealio, like, oh, look how brave I am for this t-shirt. But when I first saw this t-shirt, I loved this t-shirt. And it was, I can't even think straight. And I just thought, oh, you, power to the people.
Yo, girl.
You go, you go. And he was, it was in college, and he was a very slight guy. Uh-huh. And you could tell he had a sense of fashion about him because he had cut this t-shirt, you know, two big armholes, you know, sleeves. You know, it was gray, but tie-dye gray, mm-hmm. and it was big,
so
bold.
It's a fashion statement.
It was like, I can't even think straight. So whatever you're thinking about me, you're correct, okay? Because I can't even think straight. But nowadays, that wouldn't even be
a quarter won't even buy you a cup of coffee.
And guess what? Yesterday, I felt the exact same thing. I was very fluid in my sexuality. Yesterday, I felt this way too. Today, I don't feel the same way.
Exactly.
Today, I feel very asexual. Like, people get off my lawn.
Yeah. Just
or
just,
get off my bush. That's what I want to say.
That's what you want to say. Get off my porch.
Exactly.
Or change my diaper.
Speak to the hand. Change the diaper. Because I still laugh because there are times you have said that out in public. And I say, please.
I can't say that in public. But it's so funny because because that's our go-to statement. Like, you know, get off my lawn. It's like, change my diaper.
Yeah. You've upped your ante because get off my lawn comes from Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Yes. In El Torino, I think mm-hmm. it is, right?
Which is a perfect... You know, a perfect sentiment, right?
Yeah. Get off my lawn, people. Yeah.
And then there's the one is, my wife.
Yeah.
My wife. And Greg says it that way. Yeah. My wife.
My wife. And he says that he says it to younger people and they have no idea what he's talking about. And I get that because you're like, oh, I don't know. And when you hear the actual reference, it's sort of when something has been tweaked and tweaked and tweaked and morphed into something. Mm-hmm. It's no longer the original thing.
Yeah.
You know, the context, when I went back and saw the part where Borat is saying my wife in the movie, uh-huh. I'm like, oh, it makes no sense to me.
Right. I was talking to a lady this week, and I can't even remember how or what, you know, and she was waiting on us or something, but she was like, I don't know how to do this. I just don't know how to do this anymore. I referenced, and she was an older person, and I said, I don't know nothing about birthing babies, which is a reference from Gone with the Wind, you know, was it Hattie, whatever. And she looked at me her eyes got real big, like, what are you saying to me?
She felt, it was almost like an insult.
It was like, how are you insulting me?
Well, that's, my God, I can't believe we're talking about this, because this is... Doug and I talked about this last night, but Adam Carolla referenced Gone with the Wind. He was feeling old. And he says, Gone with the Wind, when it came out, was closer to the Civil War than we are to Gone with the Wind. And that's how old that movie is. And that's how old we are. That's, you know?
OMG.
And you just go, are you okay back there? Yeah. All right, good.
Just when you hear a crash in the house, you kind of want to go.
Especially since you said today to me,
your
father's been awfully tired lately. Should I be concerned?
Yeah.
I go, I don't know. I mean, because we've been concerned before. And
he's been like two or three hour naps every day. Going to bed at 7, waking up at 8.
Feeling is because we have allowed him to do this, he can do it.
He can do it. But see, here's the thing. I can allow myself to do it, and I can't do it.
No.
I can't wait to start the day. I don't know why.
Because you have a different motor.
Yeah. And
gratefully, my motor between you two. Between you two.
Yeah.
Or it would be really painful.
It is painful.
Yeah, it is painful. I know.
It is painful.
To have his motor be your motor.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
And then it's tough sometimes.
Well, it was kind of funny. Anyway, so we were referencing last night, Doug and I were talking about how things that were being said now that we thought were funny in our age, we're really funny, are coming across to, if you repeat it to somebody else and they don't know the joke, it comes across offensive.
Right.
Or they don't get it. They think something else is going on.
Right.
We all have our like, ooh, what's going on?
Yeah. Somehow our governor is different.
And no one gets sarcasm.
Yeah. Nobody gets sarcasm anymore. Like, are you being funny? Maybe because we don't have like emojis.
Yeah.
When we say something.
Please.
We're supposed to like have emojis.
Can
like
we design that
in our palms?
Yes.
And then you like, just pull. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying this, and here's my sarcastic emoji.
Yeah.
Like I'm being, or my funny emoji. LOL. Laugh out loud.
Yeah. Like I had a funny joke. Like everybody knows the joke. What was found in the captain's toilet?
Yes.
The captain's log.
Yes.
And so I said, I got another one. You know, Yul Brynner from The King and I. Yeah. What was in Yul Brynner's toilet? And then everybody, what? The Yule log. And it was like,
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Yeah,
crickets.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah, not tweet, like, tweet.
Tweet, 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 tweet. Cricket, but nobody cricket. Understood. I didn't get it.
Do they not have Dish? And are they not having the modern Yule log channel or the classic Yule log channel? Hello.
Yeah, hello,
they don't
people.
Know what Yule log is. They
don't know Yul Brynner. They don't know Yule log.
They don't get it.
Yeah.
And log references to poop, people.
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't know what a log is, it references to poop. Well, it was funny because, you know, President Bush passed away, number 41.
Oh, that's hysterical.
It wasn't hysterical.
He's dead funny. Okay.
But no, well, here is the funny part, because we were reminiscing about him, and time has gone by, so you don't feel as connected to the good or the bad that he did.
Right.
He was just... I honor him as a president.
And he was a decent president.
Yeah.
He had dignity.
Yeah.
And, you know.
He loved his wife, as far as I know. There was no drama.
He didn't have to pay off a porn star.
Yes.
That we know of.
Back then, they kept that under the rug.
People, they kept that stuff under the rug.
Yes. You know, which we are grateful for. And now it's like, it's right out there front and center. But I was talking about how he didn't pass away soon enough. And Doug goes, what do you mean?
You told him that?
Yeah.
That's great.
And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, because his legacy might be tainted a little bit by the Me Too movement. He goes, what do you mean?
The later years.
Yeah. I go, because in his later years, he was in a wheelchair. But if a young woman or a woman would step behind him
or get near him
for a photo,
he'd
grab her, and most likely because of height, would touch her butt.
Yeah.
And
go, he'd say, hey, I'm David Copperfield.
And Doug started laughing. I go, yes, in our day, that was a funny joke. We used to say, oh, yeah, come here, little girl. I'm David Copperfield. And you're like, oh, geez. It's offensive now. We get it. People should not be Copperfield. But back in the day, that was a funny joke.
And so see, what you mean is he didn't die soon enough because now his legacy is going to be tainted with that.
I think
Just like Bill Cosby.
Yes.
If Bill Cosby would have died at 70 or 65 before he started roofing everybody.
Yeah. Dr.
Cosby, Dr. Huxley, Huxtable.
Yeah. He was a champion for women's rights, for black rights. He was a champion. And then, you know, it's like, oh, he roofied 1,000 women or whatever
it
was.
Yeah.
Oops, didn't know that.
Oops.
You know.
And so we can't even say oops because we're not being sad enough, I don't think.
I don't know. We just came off of a conference call about the divine feminine and stepping in your power. And in this, and I've been wrestling with this idea that, for me, is it like you could, because you've been victimized does not give you the right to be a victim, to be a victimizer. And in some ways, though, we all are playing that victimized role, victimizer,
the
martyr, and we just keep changing and changing. Doesn't mean we don't stand up when we see something going down.
Right.
We stand up.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I remember like 10 years ago, I was in a parking lot someplace, I don't know, Best Buy or something, and a guy was like being really screaming at his girlfriend and getting physical.
Yeah.
And I just stepped in and like, hey, knock that off.
Knock that off.
Leave that woman alone or I'm going to call 911.
And then he
stood up for her.
That's right.
Yeah. Then I got a black eye.
Then she went home and took one for the team.
She hit me saying that this was her only source of income.
Yeah, exactly.
She was pregnant.
And we do role playing. This is our cosplay lady. Back the F off.
Yeah.
Or I don't even know now if this is like a social experiment. I never know anymore. Like, are these people doing in this act to see who will respond?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Nothing is real anymore.
It could be a reality show. It's like the old thing where you put a $10 bill on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's attached to a little string.
Yeah.
And you guys go, I want to bend down and get it, and it moves. Oh, wait, I move it again.
Yeah, and you're like, what's
you're chasing, going? Somebody's got me chasing this $10 bill. Camera's on me.
I can't.
Candid camera.
Yes. And you're like, But we're talking about President George Bush again real quick. I was just telling him, I said, here he is. At some point, we have to say that, you know, he's not in his quote unquote right mind when he was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember someone was being interviewed who worked with him, and he goes, she was a woman, and she was in her 20s when she worked in the White House with him and was like an intern of some sort, and said, and then worked with him afterwards, him and his wife. And he goes, I hear these stories and I get so angry because he was nothing but the most politest man I would ever met. There was no secrets about him. There was no like, he never looked at anybody. That wasn't his role. That's not what he thought. Mm-hmm. He knew that he was being watched. He knew what his public image was. He knew he loved his wife. He loved his family. He wouldn't do anything to taint that. And so I always feel like at some point we got to also cut people slack. Like, he's 94 years old.
Yeah.
And
that's the scary part, Jules, because
his filter's gone.
That's what I was going to say. At some point that, you know how, like at Halloween, the veil between life and death is very thin. I think it's like 94 or something.
Yes.
Your filter is very thin between like thinking something and then going, maybe I shouldn't say that. Or
And at some point, cause we think everything's funny.
Yeah.
I think life is tragic.
You're wearing a t-shirt now that says, I see jokes, people.
Yes, exactly. Everywhere. And I think life is tragic and therefore funny, or we'd be crying. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's the way I look at everything. And
that's the way I look at it, too. Yeah. And especially since I've learned, you know, like I was watching a commercial for, was it Target? I can't remember now. Was I with you and I saw this commercial? And it wasn't maybe it wasn't for Target, damn it, but it was a not so good, not so great commercial, okay? Mm-hmm. But the voiceover, I'm like, well, this is not so great commercial. And then the voiceover goes, oh, I know what it was for. It was for Light Bright. It was a toy that lit up, and it was kind of a dumb toy, you know?
Yeah.
And it was called Light Bright or something. And I was like, hey, people, let's look at Light Bright now. Maybe you can be an astronaut and fly to the moon on this toy. And I went, oh, first rule of comedy, if it's not funny, say it in a funny voice.
And it makes it funny.
It makes it funny. Yeah. And that's like when we were doing our movie.
Yes.
And Dad's first line was because we just did the 48-hour movie, Zits.
Yes.
A zombie dramedy.
Yes.
And the Zits stood for
It's called Zits
on my butt, internally and externally.
Yeah, the movie's called Zits.
Yeah.
A zombie
dramedy. Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Go and see it, people, on YouTube.
Zits. Z-I-T-Z.
A zombie dramedy.
Yeah.
Gotta go do it.
And so Norm's in the first scene.
Yes.
And you're the first sign of the zombie virus is big red pustules on the buttocks.
Thank God for those LUDs.
Luden's cough drops.
Perfect.
Big red. They put them on there. And so,
and yes, I had to lick them before I put it on Dad's butt. Now I licked the cough drops, not the butt. Okay.
But they had Dad asked you to, though.
Yes, he did.
And you went, no. I'm not licking your butt
first. Well, he first said, we'll just use tape. I'm not putting tape on your butt. That's a little too much.
So at first, you know, I said, how are we going to define that these pustules, you know, because you're from the CDC.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to say, Dr. Whitecoat, do you mean zits on my butt internally and externally? And you're supposed to go precisely. But it didn't. It just fell flat. It fell flat. So first rule of comedy, we said, do it in a funny voice.
Yeah.
Dr. Whitecoat, are you saying that I have zits on my butt internally and externally? Precisely.
And I said precisely wrong, which was wink, wink, nudge, nudge, intentional to make it more funny. And then it's interesting how the layers built.
Yeah.
Because it was funnier when
yeah.
we did that. But then I go and I'm like, when Gregory added his music.
Yeah, which was like
soundtrack.
Somber. Dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
dun, dun.
I'm like, holy cow, now we have a movie.
We have a movie. It's so interesting. Like, it is the layers. Because when you think about the music to a, like, think of Shark or Jaws.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think of good music to a movie, how much it adds dimension. And we just got the, just now from the movie that we did in July.
Yeah.
We just got the first top three winners.
Yes.
And the first one was only 5.5 minutes long, but the music was like, oh my God, phenomenal. And you're like, of course they won.
And they also did it in,
they
in
had
black and white.
And
black, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, oh, see.
We can get better next year.
I can get better next time. Because it, when it's like how to get the tight shots. Mm-hmm. When we're doing our Christmas movie now,
yeah.
which is now a tradition because we did it last year. I'm doing it this year. And, you know, I filmed you.
Yes.
And I tried to get you tight, a little like an interesting. And I filmed
I'm
dead outside.
This Jane Marple.
And he's playing Hercule Poirot.
The Belgium detective.
And you Hercule said to Normano, this is supposed to be funny, go ahead saying it in an accent. And you said, a Belgium accent. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And he just whispered then. He just went, I am Hercule Poirot. Oh, you have.
He whispered and he acted gay.
And asthmatic.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
that's
Belgium.
Belgium.
That's Belgium. I could pick that accent out in like a heartbeat. Oh, you're from Belgium, right?
Oh, you're Belgium.
Yeah. Here's your Preventol. Take a hit of this, please. You know. And I just thought you were so ingenious because in your mind, mm-hmm. the Belgians have very thick eyebrows. And so we, just by chance, because this is who we are, you know, we have fake mustaches in one of our drawers. Just by chance. I don't know. And you're like, Normano, wear this fake mustache and then take one of the mustaches and cut it in half.
And make the eyebrows.
And make two eyebrows.
Yeah.
And it worked.
It worked, girlfriend.
He had a hat. He had a scarf. He had my trench coat. And I filmed him outside. And all of a sudden,
he became
Hercule Poirot.
He transformed. The gay Hercule Poirot.
Asthmatic. I'm Hercule Poirot.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever.
I'll tell you what, though.
And you're being stereotypical. Yeah. We mean gay and roaring 20s kind of way.
No. I mean, like, not straight gay.
Oh, yes. You're right.
Yeah. Can we? That's normal to say that right now, right? Because, you know, people say, I can't even think straight.
Yeah. Well, that was back. That was an 80s term. Yeah. So I have no idea if it's any right.
Oh, can you say that's gay?
I don't think you can anymore.
Oh, my God. You know, it was interesting because Julie was reading me and Dad. We were waiting someplace.
Oh, my gosh.
And she brought an old Janet Ivanovich book. Stephanie Plum, who I adore. And I think she might
have
written it
in years, right?
In 1989 or 1990.
90, yeah, something like that.
And within the first 10 pages, Stephanie Plum has a sidekick, Lula.
Yes.
Now, Lula, you know, if you're thinking the name Lula is a big black ex-hooker, you'd be right.
Yes. That's so, the image that paints in your mind of a 90s book.
Yeah.
And you're like...
So Julie is reading, and all of a sudden, she's saying the words that Lula is saying, and she's going all girlfriend on it.
Yes.
She's like, well, now you, Stephanie Plum, I might as well have some chicken and waffles with you. And that's how she's writing this book.
That's how she's writing this book.
And all of a sudden,
I'm laughing, and I'm also embarrassed because luckily we're in a room together.
Yeah. But also, closed. I'm like going, you know what? I'm not sure this would fly nowadays.
I think this book would not fly.
So we have changed as a culture.
In 20, 30 years.
In 20, yeah, if
20
we changed.
Years. Now, thank God.
I wouldn't, oh, you think it's for the good?
I don't know. I don't know if anything's for the good anymore.
I don't know either. I'll be just saying.
Well, because we would be told, we would, in
our I would like
journey,
to have write.
There is no right or wrong.
Right.
It's
and not only
good
that, but
bad,
if I was
going to
write
this.
A character who had been a prostitute and came off the streets, but she still got her prostitute nature, her like bubbly nature, and yet now she's a bounty hunter wannabe.
Yeah.
And she's Stephanie Plum's assistant.
Right. But
and she carries a concealed weapon.
Yes.
Which is a gun.
And near her coochie.
Yeah.
But the weird part is that you said, you equate prostitute with bubbly nature. Now, I would not necessarily think a prostitute would have a bubbly nature. I have two stereotypes for a prostitute.
Yeah, but then the old days.
In the old days, that stereotype that would worked
be
out.
That'd be like, oh sure, honey, come on. This in is your first
day,
time.
Now, yeah. What are your two stereotypes? What are your stereotypes for a prostitute?
Druggy.
Oh, so I have three then.
Oh yeah,
I have three now.
Okay, druggy. Mm-hmm. Or male. I can see a male.
Oh, I don't differentiate.
Yeah. Oh, you don't?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
It gets fluid either way. No yeah. big deal.
And computerish.
Oh, interesting.
Like techie.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's
like like just sitting in a room
oh.
on my bed and yes. and doing stuff. And then going, hey, I'm waiting for the jing, 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 jing.
Yeah. You want to see me do something?
Yeah. Coin drop. Screw the mic drop.
Yeah.
I want a coin drop.
See, in my mind, the prostitute of the day, I have just two stereotypes. But now that we're talking, I realize mm-hmm. your stereotypes are not my stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And the word means a lot to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess there is room to have a Stephanie Plum, a Lula
mm-hmm.
in there.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, you have a sex trafficked teen, mm-hmm. you know,
aww.
or you have someone that is taking their sexuality and
to
like,
the nth degree.
And to the nth degree.
What was that Richard like, Gere? That sex, Richard Gere movie.
They're a sex therapist.
Oh,
you know, I'm going to get now. What it Got to it. Me really what is Got the it. Difference?
Got it.
Except one's being forced and one's getting
power
and empowered.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess it matters. This it's like who's taking their 10%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got a pimp who's taking more than 10%, then I think you're being sex trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And but if you're you know if you you Tell hired you, but, a, see, a manager you to can, find
but I would give away 20% if I was going to get like thousands of dollars.
No, you're right, and maybe that's the key too. Or I even give him 30 if I could get the quality. If I could make like they always say, you should hire an agent if you're a professional athlete,
right?
Because that agent's going to make more for you than the cost of that agent,
right?
So if you're a prostitute. And you're like a sex empowered therapist.
Yeah, you need
you might want an agent.
And I totally agree with that in the sense that if I was even like
an agent, like
a psychotherapist,
yeah,
I would want an agent. Because
mm-hmm.
at some point, you know, you want to have. I don't know. I guess no, I shouldn't say that, but
no, but I get what you're saying yeah. because, well, here's the thing, it's all sales. And
it's all marketing.
And it's all marketing. It is.
Yeah.
And at some point, the person doing the job, like as a therapist, you kind of just wanted to focus on being a good therapist.
Yeah.
Not having to pass out cards and trying to market yourself.
Right.
If you could have given somebody half your money initially.
Yeah. To do that stuff.
Yeah. You would have done it gratefully.
100%. You're right.
So
that.
I guess that's the key. So it depends if the sex trafficker, first of all, if they wanted to be there. That's the key. If they didn't want to be there, but they're starting to get to, they're like, well, if I'm being compensated.
If I'm getting dinner.
Yeah, dinner is not enough compensation.
No, but if you're hungry.
That's true. I don't know. This is going
on. You know what? We just don't know.
I don't know.
We don't know anymore.
It's so individualized that it all sucks. And
I just want Lula as my best friend.
And I just want to say, if you're out there and you need help, help's always out there.
Don't call us.
I was going to say, send me an email. I'm like, really don't. I don't have it in me. I got a lot of shit going on. I got my own issues. I'm barely hanging on.
Yeah.
I'm not the person. I mean, yeah.
But if we did send us an email, you know what? We'd shoot you a couple bucks.
Yeah. We're all for it. We fund.
Or you know what, though?
We do different GoFundMe campaigns all yeah. the time.
Not only that, but yeah. I've actually, you know, when those people get the lottery to come in for immigrants, you know?
Yes.
You know that I always say I am willing to take one.
Yes.
And they can live above my garage.
Right.
But they got to be like, this is their first job is to be like a handyman for me.
Yeah. I would.
Is that okay?
I don't know.
It should be.
Well, first of all, we would do the upstairs for you to be a handyman and then give you second entrance. It's like, yeah, you know, call it your own.
Yeah.
And then we just
like
have
an
to
apartment.
Say, and then know that we like our privacy, but we'll check it on you. We'll help you get a job, but yeah,
we help you get a job. But we'd like them to be my me be the first job. Like, I got stuff to do here.
Well, why can't
is
we
that
do
all,
that?
Is that all right, though, to hire someone that
but
just
see,
came over
honestly,
from
honestly, though,
from
I would...
Nigeria or something? And
I mean, if it was a time thing, if it was a time frame,
yeah.
Such as... Because they always say, oh... You know, we you know, that's the stereotype too. Like these rich people bring people over from different countries to work as their maids for nothing.
Oh, I guess that's slavery.
But no, but you would pay them.
Of course, I would.
You give them money.
I'm room and board
and money
and cash
and I'd pay
and a car
and a car.
It may not be the best car.
It's what we got to. But you go. We start you off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we could use some help. You help me, I help you.
That's what we're saying, basically.
Basically, we could use help. That's what I'm saying. Like, don't call me for help because I'm, like, at my max right now, people. But I would help you if you needed help. I would. I have like, our brothers from, you know, BBS Radio.
Yes.
They're still struggling. Mm-hmm. They're getting closer and closer. Their FundMe page, GoFundMe page is almost... If it's not already full, we might go over it. But
go find the, I don't know, Doug and Don Newsome.
Yes.
Go find
him. It's, you know, we're doing it, you mm-hmm. know? And, but you realize that things, the older you get, the more that you realize that life is just, shit happens all the time. Yeah. Tragedy.
Oh, I've been watching a lot of Hallmark movies lately.
Oh, great. How's
and,
that been?
Well, the Christmas ones. Mm. Only the Christmas ones, which is like 24/7.
Yeah.
But in almost every one, there's like a young girl that's a nanny, or she's hired as a house manager, or she's hired to, I don't know, do an event that these very wealthy people plan. Hmm. And the very wealthy people they're just not happy. Hmm. They're like crabby. But the little event planner or the little Christmas tree girl or the little house manager, she always manages to be happy and bring a twinkle to their and show them the joys of Christmas.
Of course.
And see, that's when you're down.
Yeah.
Then you're supposed to be able to see the joy in everything.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, when you're rich, you're like, well, I don't, what?
This is just not. Every day is Christmas for me. There's nothing special about this.
Nothing special. I don't see anything. Oh, twinkly lights.
Big deal. I think the reason we went to the mall the other day. Holy shit, that was a new experience for us. We never go shopping together in a mall together. When I can't tell you.
Never.
I mean, I really can't.
No.
Oh, I know the last time we were in a
mall
together.
We shop all the time online together.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, we do. And that's how I prefer it. I can tell you the exact day, the last time we were in a mall together.
Okay.
I was...
Were we getting cinnamon buns?
No. We were... You've sent me in for cinnamon buns.
Yeah.
But... I was 11 years old.
Yeah.
Gregory was 9. They were having kid modeling contests, and we had to go in and do our dance on a stage in Woodfield Mall.
Yes.
Because you
I wanted you to be in a movies.
You wanted to be in movies. Yes. You were that confident about us.
I was, because you were geniuses, both
of
you were.
Yes, and we danced Surfing USA.
Surfing USA.
Neither one of us were picked.
I can't believe that.
You were heartbroken.
I was crying.
And vowed never to go into that mall again.
and I didn't.
And never go into a mall ever again. And that was the last time.
Exactly.
And then so this time we went to a mall together.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting because you're like, look at all the twinkly lights. there's a lot going on here. and
like a lot of stores that I'm like, I don't understand. The B12 shop. Oh, what's the B12 shot? Well, you're going to get a B12 shot. What?
Why? They have a whole store
for
it?
What? And,
yeah, they do, Mom. They got a whole store for B12 shots.
And ooh la la. What could possibly be ooh la la? Eyebrow waxing. What? Or threading.
Threading.
What?
What?
Who would have wanted to thread their eyebrows?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Where's this line outside this one store? Oh, this is where they're all getting their nails done in acrylics. Why are they wearing masks? This is what it smells like in there, and they don't want to be in that smell all day, so they're wearing masks.
And so I said, "So what is that? Is that your own nails, or fake nails?"
And I said, "Well, acrylics they're fake over your own, because you."
I couldn't understand that, Julie.
Well, it was funny because you had asked a woman, like, "Oh, are those your real nails?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said.
She was upset because...
She said, well, yeah, the course are my real nails.
I paid for them. Just like when you asked, are those your real breasts?
Yeah.
They go, well, of course they're my real breasts. I paid for them.
Like,
I should stop asking people that, though.
You should stop asking people that question. Jeez. Well, you
I said it in a funny voice.
Yes.
I thought it was a real bracelet.
Here's the problem. I think that's hysterical.
Yeah.
And then we leave laughing. Yeah. And the people that we just bombarded with our humor,
they have no idea.
Don't get us. We've had a humor drive-by.
Yeah.
They've been bombed by it. And they're like, they feel less than because they're like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Why are they making fun of me? Yeah. Like, dude, we're making fun of you. Join the laughter.
Join life with a girlfriend.
Yeah. I should just come out with a card. You've been life with a girlfriend. I.
Give him a card. Oh, Julie, that'll work.
If you don't realize what's going down right now, if you're not understanding this.
And they're like, where's the camera?
Yeah, where's the camera? We're going to talk about you on our podcast.
Oh, you mean I'm not on TV?
No.
I'm not on YouTube?
No.
I'm on a podcast?
Oh, excuse that. Forget that.
There's 275,000 podcasts. People.
Yeah, please, people. Stop right now. Yeah, but I'm going to start doing that, passing out cards.
Yeah, you've been girlfriend-ized.
I'm going to pee. You've been life with a girlfriend-ized.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what? Hey, anyway, girlfriend, anyway, to get our name out there more. That's how I'm feeling. But it is interesting, though, because... when I was with Doug last night, we were being kind of funny, you know, and then he took our being funny to
a whole new level.
No, to the drive-thru at McDonald's. I wanted an iced tea. Uh-huh. And he goes, I like my iced tea plain, not sweetened. So I go, give me one unsweetened iced tea because I already had my coffee for the day. And I'm like, I can't do two coffees. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm not a coffee drinker, but what is it with you coffee drinkers? How you never finish your coffees.
Mm-mm.
Like Doug had a coffee about the same time on the way from getting the truck.
Mm-hmm.
I had it down and he still has like 3/4 of it left.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what? Are you not supposed to
drink
your coffee?
I'm like Giada De Laurentiis, where she says, food, people, peons, peasants, food's not for eating, food's for tasting. And I say, people, coffee's not for drinking, it's for sipping.
That's the same thing as your booze. You've got booze glasses all around.
Mic drop.
Yeah, mic drop. Boom. Yeah, got it. So anyway, we went to the drive-thru and he's like, I would like one large unsweetened iced tea, please. And he was going to say, sweetie. And he goes, I like, what? And then he went, sweet. And I'm like, looking at him. He goes, and he stopped and he starts laughing. And she's like, what? Oh, I just want one iced tea. Nothing else going on there. Nothing sweet. And then he's like, all right. and then I commented. And then I commented. I said, because our McDonald's is being renovated.
Yes.
And I said, oh, by the way, we're at the... they have to get out of the building. They have to wear a hard hat.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, that's so funny.
So cute.
I go, that's cute. So he asked the girl, he goes, he didn't ask him if he had to wear a hard hat. He goes, so where's your hard hat at? And she did not find that funny at all. She was in a very straight face and very aggressive, this 17-year-old girl.
Uh-huh.
I do not have to wear one. And that was
all
it.
Right.
And he's like, well, I'm just kind of joking with you. Yeah. I like it. Nobody gets so defensive about it.
Yeah.
And I said, oh.
It's so, you know, these little missies at McDonald's, like 2 weeks ago, we went through one and she was having, we had got two coffees. That's it. It's like $2.14.
Yes.
And you had the money and it was not going through for her for whatever reason. And she goes, oh, just go through. This is just not working out right. Oh, thank you very much. Get two free coffees. You go down to the window to get the things.
Yeah.
And we said, what did Nicole say to us?
Well, initially, she was very nice.
She was very nice. We went, wow, you are so happy and friendly today. And we just got two free coffees. And she said, well, I'm going to tell you something.
Yes.
My name is Nicole.
And please.
And you need to. She goes, I just got like chewed out. They said I was rude to the people. And look at me. I am so cheery. And they're going to cut my hours. So you go and you fill out that survey.
Uh-huh.
And you tell them Nicole was extremely friendly.
Yeah.
And do not cut her hours. I went, okay.
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 I go, a little too TMI.
A little TMI.
But the truth is, I did leave a
survey.
We did.
We did this. You pulled over.
I pulled over.
Because she was still looking at you.
Yeah. And I said this. I said, I come to this McDonald's almost every day to either get coffee or iced tea, which is what we like to do after we work out. And I said, I don't know if they had a crew meeting or something, but they're always professional. But today they were super duper, uber, super duper duper nice and friendly.
Yeah.
I go, keep up the good work. Especially Nicole.
Especially Nicole. Please don't cut her hours. Yes,
please don't cut her hours.
It's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's Christmas, Tiny Tim. Mr. Scrooge.
Well, it was funny because Doug was talking. He's got an employee right now, which he will have until they leave because he doesn't know how to get rid of anybody.
No, he doesn't get – he has bad employees, and they stay until they find something better.
Yes.
Because he never fires anybody.
No. And he basically leaves them alone. When he hates them so much, he leaves them alone. And that's like the best thing in the world for somebody
who – Man, he's leaving me alone.
Yeah, I'm doing good,
right? I got
my
hand in the till and –
And so he's
closing
got,
up early.
And he's got somebody, and she goes, I've been hearing this person doesn't even look up from, like, they're just always on their phone. They never even look up to, like, greet the person who walks in the door. And I'm like, we got to knock that crap off. And he goes, I know. And I'm just going to cut her hours until she leaves. I'm like, okay, you
I have a discussion,
you boss man.
Doug does the same thing Elliot does. Yeah. See, like most dogs, like when they have to go to the bathroom, they go to the door.
Yeah.
But Elliot, he comes to you and simply stares at you.
Yeah, like.
Like he just stares, like intensely stares. And, like,
yeah.
Look at me. I'm staring at you. You know what this means.
Yeah.
I have to go to the bathroom. And this is what Doug does. When he's trying to get rid of an employee, he doesn't say a word.
No.
But he'll just intensely stare and, like, I'm psychically telling you.
Yes.
You need to leave.
You need to leave.
I would like you to quit. You need to leave because you're not doing this list of things that I could easily write out.
Yes.
And go
but have
point
not done
one,
that.
Point two, point three, point four.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to intensely.
Because you should know that you should look up from your phone to be. I'm like, not necessarily.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's you're right. He's not a good manager necessarily.
Oh, no.
And that could possibly stop his growth.
His
goal, which I always laugh at it because he wants to work. He doesn't want to work hard now, but he wants.
And
to,
he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He really doesn't.
He does not work hard now.
And he wants to be able to hire somebody else to run his business still even more.
Yeah.
So he can still have an income.
Yeah.
I'm like,
he pretty much wants to be a retired entrepreneur.
Yes. He wants the illusion of having a business and caring for it.
Yes.
But having somebody else take responsibility for it.
He wants to be able to say, if he doesn't want to do something, oh, I can't. I have a business.
Yeah, exactly.
But if he wants to go somewhere, I got an employee.
I got an employee. 100%.
Yeah. You can't catch that man in anything. He's a watery.
He's also contrarian.
Oh, he's just like Elliot in that way.
Yeah. Well, I like how you said Elliot stares you down.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what he does to me, he walks towards his secret place. He wants to go to the bathroom in the house.
And
then
you're
looks behind.
Not, yeah, oh, that's right. He does
and
do that.
Like,
to
hey, I'm walking over here.
I'm heading in this direction.
Really? Do you see me? I'm looking at you walking over here because, you know, like, you don't get me. And it's, you know. That little stinker winker.
I know. He escaped yesterday.
Normano.
It's so tragic because we love this little guy and we think that he's happy.
Yeah.
But the first sign of a large collar around his neck loosening and then slipping off, and then he's off to the races.
He's gone. He's totally aware of the fact that he is free.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
He's frolicking and running as fast as he can to who knows where.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, when you say goodbye to me at night and I don't know where you go, I don't know how far you frolic. I don't know what you do. I'm not even sure if you're coming back home, girlfriend.
Exactly.
I got that little chip in you.
Yeah.
I have to activate.
We have to do that with Elliot. I think that's what we got to do.
He's chipped,
but there's a way. I used to see this one commercial where you could put something on your dog's chain, and you could find your dog through GPS.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
I knew we just need to start doing that.
Well, Dad said last night before he went to bed, he goes, I want to ask you and Julie to do something. I go, sure. He said, could you get a little tag for his collar?
Yes, I know.
I go, that we could do.
I can do it today.
It could be Elliot Stabler Peters.
Yes.
Dixon, Illinois, with our phone number.
Yep, exactly.
And our address.
Because I have called on people before. Like, I remember this one big dog I found. I remember
that dog. And that I called.
I said, hey, are you listening to your dog? Oh, he's out in the bathroom. I go, well, I found him on the road. I go, should I just let him be? Should I just let him run the road? He goes, no, I'll come get him. He's on the road. I go, where are you at?
How far away was it?
About a mile and a half.
Oh, my God. Because I can remember in that particular instance, it was a huge dog.
Oh, it was a
and
big.
And you let him in the back seat, and he was all wet and
oh,
dirty.
My God, it was horrible.
And that car smelled for a while.
I was like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking to be like, let this big dog in my car. He seemed friendly enough. I was not afraid of him.
It could have been a shapeshifter.
I had water with me. I'm like, okay. It's crazy, but it worked out.
You're such a good person.
It worked out. So here we are. We're getting ready to do our Christmas show.
Yes, our Christmas movie.
Our Christmas movie.
Yes.
And
hi, Jamie. Thank you for the hi. I'm Cousin Jamie.
Yep.
Please don't let the Grinch steal
wearing
Christmas,
her
cowboy
Christmas cowboy hat. And she was wearing her elf outfit.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't.
Awesome.
I don't know. I didn't see the whole picture. I saw her like her torso up. So I don't know if she was wearing stockings or not. Like, could this have been mm-hmm. her naughty elf outfit? Mm. It could have been. She had stockings
on. We don't know.
On,
yeah,
you know,
we don't know what went on fish. Afterwards.
Can I ask you a question, though? Is that no longer appropriate to have naughty Halloween costumes? Like naughty nurse, naughty.
No, that's appropriate.
That's still appropriate?
Oh, yeah.
How come that's appropriate? I don't know in this culture of Me Too. Or yeah. Is that claiming your sexuality?
I
get
so
confused.
Yeah.
And then this is where I go, I think everything's funny and everybody should take a chill pill because mm-hmm. we're all making mistakes.
Right.
And I know that most people are pretty much sweet in their heart.
Yeah.
Like they know that life, like they've made mistakes.
Right.
People are making mistakes. We are just a world full of mistakes.
Yeah.
And yet we still survive.
Yeah.
Overall.
This lovely young girl. She's always been my like at I had cataract surgery this week, and mm-hmm. so at my eye doctor, she's always like my assistant, and her name is Chautauqua or Shaniquina or something like that, and
literally something like that, something like that. Very much like that.
And I've tried to say it twice, and
she corrects you.
She always corrects me.
Yeah.
So now she's just gorgeous to me.
Yeah.
I go, hello,
hey, gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Because I cannot figure out, I cannot remember Chautauqua and Shaniquina.
And you have actually, and then she has to have her name tag on.
No, she never wears her name
tag. And that makes me mad. Because it would be nice because you want to call her by her name.
I do.
But you can't remember it.
Right.
And you keep, and she has, you've said it and it's been close every time.
She said, you're close.
You're close. It's this.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember. So remember.
And I don't want to be rude, you know, or creepy or like, but I am who I am at this point. Like we watched Crazy Rich Asians last night.
Yes.
And so like 45 minutes into the movie, because this was supposed to be a hilarious movie. And I keep waiting for it to be hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I turn to Normano and I say, I cannot figure out which character is which. I cannot tell the difference apart from these Asians.
Was this pre or post cataract surgery?
This was post cataract surgery.
Oh, okay. Yes.
But I could not tell the difference.
Yes.
And the dad goes, oh man, you're so racist. You can't tell a difference. And I'm like, then I told Julie, and Julie said, Mom, don't worry. They can't. We all look alike to them.
Yes. I said that to you.
Yeah. So I felt
And then
better.
You went, how could that possibly be that we all look alike to them?
Well, Julie, some of us have blonde hair. Some of us have red hair. Some
okay.
of us have white hair.
Exactly. Because I have seen this one band, this Korean band. They're all boys. And the first one I saw him, I really thought of the same person, but with different hair colors and different hair styles. I'm like,
that Korean boy band.
Yes.
It's just one boy.
It was a commercial for some kind of electronics.
Uh-huh.
And this is right before it got popular, before I realized that there was a thing going on.
Yeah.
Where these Korean boy bands were like
hot.
Like
they're the Menudo of 100%.
Asia. Exactly. They're the Menudo of America right now.
Right now, yeah.
When I'm watching this commercial, I've seen it a couple times, and I can't remember what it's for. And I thought to myself, is it like one of the Discover channels, Discover commercials, mm-hmm. where, mm. you know, is it the same person?
Mm-hmm.
One calling and one being there?
Yeah.
Is it someone exactly really
gotcha.
Similar?
Yeah, or like the Geico girl. She's always a different.
Yeah.
Or like KFC dude.
Yes, exactly. Like I did
Peter. Wait a minute, is there a theme here?
Yes. So I thought to myself, oh my God, I go, I think it's the same kid, just with different haircuts, mm-hmm. playing the same, you know, different roles. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And I go, and somehow I saw that band all together. And I go, oh, they're different people. I go, oh, shit. Oh. And I oops. Go, oops. Like, you know what? To me, you put me near, yeah. you know, people that look kind of similar to me.
Yeah.
They go, oh, look, that girl's playing all different roles. Same role. I'm like, no, we're different people. I think the brain doesn't differentiate that closely.
I agree. I kind of feel the same way about Korean babies.
Yeah.
They're all cute.
Yes.
And also cats. Unless a cat is like black or white or something,
they all look the same.
They all kind of look the same,
right? If this is extreme, a calico.
Unless I really need to know this cat
is a yes,
it's a cat.
It's a cat.
Yeah.
Well, even now, I still can't differentiate my Wheaton Terrier from a Labradoodle mini. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
they all look the same. Except my Wheaton's a purebred and yours is not.
Yeah. That's why I say when you come back, you want to come back as a poodle because they fuck everything.
Exactly.
That's a good joke. Come on.
It's a good joke, but now you've said it like 4 or 5 times.
Oh, have I?
I mean, but you know, the truth is I've heard Adam Carolla's jokes over and over again.
Oh, good. Thank God.
And it's still funny.
All right,
it's
good.
Still funny.
Yeah. He still wants to remind you.
Yeah. And it's true.
Yeah.
Like we met a therapy dog. And it was, it's not Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
But we,
he's a service dog or whatever.
She's a service dog.
Yeah.
But it was a Labrador.
Poodle.
A retriever mixed with a poodle, but it was a very small dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, had to be a mini poodle.
Yeah.
She goes, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hell
it's
yeah.
a miniature poodle.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it was a good sized dog.
Yeah.
You know, 25 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like this sized dog. But I'm like, that poor, was it a miniature Labrador retriever or was it a full-blown, and who was the mom and who was the dad?
100%, right?
Yeah.
Whose little miniature poodle-ish got whatever.
I hope it was the male miniature poodle.
Me too.
You know.
A bit more fair.
I guess. I don't know.
Whatever your kink is.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know anymore.
I don't either.
Life's crazy.
Life is crazy. And it's also hysterical.
Yeah.
And you know why it's hysterical? Because Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we are no longer worried about food and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get to worry about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we were someplace else and all we had to worry about with food and shelter, our brains would be focused on that.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, we wouldn't have to worry. None of this stuff would matter because it's like, you know, the elder would go, what's your problem?
Yeah.
You're like, well, she said that my nails are not real, are not mine because I got acrylics over. She goes,
Excuse me?
You see that herd of buffalo over there? We need a couple more of those because we're going to make it through the winter. Get your ass out there and get those.
Well, I like something kind of sad happened this week or so.
Oh, no.
That missionary got killed by that indigenous tribe. That.
Oh, yeah. I can't handle this story, but go for it.
No, I'm not going to talk about the sad part.
Okay.
But I did see a little bit of filmage of the tribe.
Yes.
And what happens is like a ship comes by every day and throws this tribe coconuts. And what they do is, like, it could be a game, I don't really know, but they take this pile of coconuts and they move it from one pile to the next. And once that pile is complete, they take that pile of coconuts and move it to another place.
Oh.
So my point was...
My point was,
you know what? You're always trying to find something to do.
Exactly. Yeah, can't find something to do. Yeah. Your brain is bored.
They're moving coconuts.
Yeah.
But our people are changing sex.
Yes. Or we got a lot of people sitting in on player one games, you know, trying to kill people from World War II.
Right.
Kind of get the Germans.
Yeah.
You know, or jumping out of airplanes.
Right.
Not real.
Right.
You know, so yeah.
So it's the same thing. I hear that.
And maybe they're going, how high can we get this pile of coconuts before it falls down?
I don't know the game.
It's there, not modern day Django.
Yeah.
But Jenko? What's that?
Django.
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 The blocks where you take the blocks out.
Django Unchained.
No, it's not. It's just, I was afraid you were going to say that. But can I tell you something, though? This is probably like the whole worst. The worst podcast ever. No, but what I was going to say was that missionary who went to that.
I want to talk about him a little bit.
We got only 5 minutes left of the show.
Okay, that's good. That's good respect.
Okay. No, it has messed me up.
I know.
First off.
Tell a little bit of background.
Okay. I think he was an American missionary. And he really felt it was his job to go to this tribe off the coast of India. It's an island. They really are one of the last indigenous populations.
The last.
On the globe that we know of.
Yeah.
And he goes.
And
we
purposely leave them alone, this tribe.
Yes.
Or the Indians do.
Right, from India. Yeah. I mean, they actually guard it. It's like against the law to go and talk to them.
Right.
But he really felt that God was telling him to go and tell the good news of Jesus, that Christ has risen. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I'm not sure that he didn't know. How would they know that they didn't know about Christ? First mm-hmm. of all, they didn't mm-hmm. speak the same language. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, how would he not know that mm-hmm. Christ hadn't already come there? Mm-hmm. He didn't know.
And not only that, but my feeling was he didn't speak whatever the language yes. was. So imagine you being an indigenous tribe member
yeah.
and a guy, a white man, first of all, comes to you. And he's not talking, you know, your language. So what is he doing? He's acting it out.
Oh, geez.
So imagine acting out Mom, the whole...
Stop. Stop. Stop.
The whole scenario.
Of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It would be it would be pretty scary.
Yes.
All of a sudden, he's like on a cross, and he's down on the ground, and then dead.
He's just stabbed.
And then all of a sudden...
He does his walk.
He starts getting up.
People are throwing things at him. Yeah. Wear a crown of thorns.
Yeah, it's like...
And then he dies, yes. rises again from the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
Exactly.
Well, I remember when your granddaughter you asked her, what about Jesus? What's going on with Easter? You wanted to see what she knew. Because, mm-hmm. well, I know about Easter. And she goes, Jesus died for our sins and then rose again 3 days later. And she made this really weird face, like, with her mouth, I'm like, oh my God, like, what's this about?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get it, but we're just going with it. Like, it's scary. Yeah,
this is a school I go to. This is what they're teaching. I don't care. I'm just keeping my mouth shut. I go,
he died, and then he rose again from the dead. What?
Say what?
And is this going to happen to me? Can this possibly happen? I'm there for that, I guess. It's kind of scary, but I don't know.
As long as I get chocolate milk after the class, I'm okay.
I'm okay with that. Exactly.
That's how it was for us.
But, you know,
after we learned about that stuff, we got a glazed donut and some chocolate milk. That made it go down a lot easier.
There you go. but we only got a minute left. But before I want to go... it has messed me up, this storyline, the story of this man and the missionary, because I don't know if it's right that we leave those people there without intervention.
Well, number one, that's how in the old days you would get rid of an indigenous population.
By going and seeing them.
You go and bring your disease. Like, he might have just smallpox.
But they have their own diseases, right? And maybe we're protecting ourselves from them.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe they have some interesting disease that they're all immune to.
Yeah.
But I mean, what if, I don't know. I mean, is there a way to preserve their culture if they want to be preserved? Or, I don't know. Or like, hey, you throw them a smartphone, like, what's this?
What if they got it?
Yeah.
What if they really easily got it?
Yeah, exactly.
Start watching stuff.
Like, what's going on here? and then they want to go,
I want to be a YouTube star.
Yeah,
and then they saw how many hits they got. Holy crap.
Exactly. I don't know.
And then they could get a record contract, and there would be a new kind of sound. It wouldn't be like...
I mean, I guess it's totally
like
cool.
World music.
They're not trying to get off the island and investigate us.
No.
So I guess if they'd want to, we would be like, hey, open arms. Here's mm-hmm. what's going on in the mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm. But they're not. They're like, hey, mm-hmm. you stay there. We stay here. Somehow we've had this agreement.
Yeah. Like with the professor and Gilligan.
Yeah.
They wanted to get off the island.
Yes. These people don't.
These people.
As far as we know, I know nothing about them.
Yeah.
Except the coconut story and the missionary story. Yeah. Besides that, I was shocked.
Yeah.
To know there's an island full of people.
Yeah.
But how many people are there? Is it 1,000?
I have no idea, but all I noticed in that video was that, I don't know if it's a game or if it's just like, it's like twiddling your thumbs.
Right, but I want to say one more thing about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
It does mean that whole idea that you really can't have sex with your cousin and have kids, that's a lie. You probably can have sex with your cousin and have kids and mm-hmm. they'll be okay. Because I'm thinking there's a lot of people screwing their cousins on that island.
My gosh.
What do you think?
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying.
That would be, I would love to study that.
I could have them do their 23.com story.
Yeah.
Yeah, follow this.
It shows on their on the computer yeah. right here.
Right here.
Right where you were at. This is
it.
It's your ancestry.com.
Yeah, right here. Boom. Good luck. 100% right here. They're like, we've never seen this before. This has never happened.
Oh, and maybe at some point Genghis Khan, you know, just lightly stepped on the island.
Yeah.
Spread a few seeds.
Wouldn't that be funny as heck if that was a seed that was there?
That'd be funny.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So the show was wild. The show was crazy.
Should I apologize now?
We apologize. Honestly, anything we said today was all in good humor and fun. That's, and we make fun of ourselves.
We're wearing t-shirts that say, I see jokes, people.
Exactly.
And does that you know, kind of send a white blanket over us and we can do this?
I think we were a little freer today because we're at the moment we're not on BBS Radio live.
Yeah, right.
We're just putting this down. So I wanted to just say, hey, disclaimer, this is going to be kind of a wild show.
Yeah. And was it?
Yes, it was great.
Thank you, Julie. It was great.
Hey, was it great?
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.